If you have your Bible, I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and just overlap a little bit with last week. Ephesians 3, 14, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives his name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So do you see the key? To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God takes being strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner man, so that Jesus Christ can dwell in our hearts. Now, is that something most of us assume? Jesus lives in us. But there is a difference in having the presence of Christ and all of his fullness dwelling in you. He goes on to say that we would be strengthened also to be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God that surpasses knowledge, so that you might be able to be filled to all the measure of fullness. So there is a fullness in Christ that is not automatic. There is a maturity, a completeness that God does not grant us at conversion. Now, there are those who might want to emphasize that in God's eyes, we are seen as perfect already. Christ has done the entire work and it's finished. That's taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, a verse that says this: "For by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified in him." And there is a truth in that, that Christ's death paid for the sins of the entire world. Forgiveness is available. The grace of God has appeared unto man in Jesus Christ. So his forgiveness is ours in Christ, and it has been given, and it is being given in a complete, unrestricted way. But we need to understand that in God's own eyes, the moment we become converted and become his sons and daughters, we're not complete. We're not mature. We've not come to fullness, because Paul, one of his primary servants to the Gentiles, was constantly urging the believers on to this fullness. Matter of fact, if you still have your Bibles open to Ephesians in chapter 4, the very reason that God established the church was so that believers in a corporate setting could together come to fullness, completeness. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 11. "It was he who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." These are all functions in the church. "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith." So this is something that we want to experience together in a unified way. "Until we reach unity in the faith and the complete knowledge of the Son of God." Although we know Christ, there is a difference in knowing him and coming to a complete knowledge. And he goes on to say, "and to a perfect man." Complete. The Greek idea of the word perfect means fully functional, mature. In other words, you live the way God intended life to be in Christ. You are able to do what he designed you to do in Christ. In that sense, you are complete, you are perfect. And that is to take place through the ministry of the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to equip the saints so that the church can be built up towards this maturing process until we all come to the unity of the faith. We all believe the same. We look to God in the same way. We experience his grace and power in the same way. And unto this full knowledge of the Son of God, unto a complete, mature man. This is why God made the church. To take us from being infants. Because he goes on to say in this passage, so that you will no longer be infants. See, that's where you start off in Christ. You're born again, but you're born again as an infant. You don't want to stay there because you know what they call someone who does not grow and develop. They call him the runt. We don't want to be the runt who's alive, but he's undeveloped. He's so much smaller than everyone else. God wants us to be full grown. He wants us to experience abundant life for his own testimony's sake. We want to grow up into the fullness in Christ. This was so much upon Paul's heart that in Colossians, where he was trying to make sure they understood his purpose, right at the end of chapter 1 of Colossians and into the first part of chapter 2, Paul says this. I'm going to start with verse 25 of chapter 1, Colossians 1:25. I've become the servant of the church by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the full message. And let me tell you something. The full message is not merely forgiveness. Forgiveness and being reconciled with God is a wonderful part of the message. But the fullness of the message is we receive power and grace and equipping in Christ to become dynamically transformed individuals who used to be sinners, and we become saints, holy ones, living by the power of his Spirit. That's the fullness of the message that Paul is presenting, to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And listen to what Paul says. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ. You see the goal? The goal for the church and Paul's ministry to the church is to present every man perfect. Perfect in Christ, complete, fully mature, living in the way that God has designed us, living by the Spirit, walking in righteousness, being a new creation in Christ, old things having passed away, all things becoming new, transformed, being renewed in knowledge in the image of Christ, so that when others see you, they see righteousness, they see godliness, they see holiness, they see love, kindness, mercy. They see God's grace in action through your life. That's the purpose. That's what Paul labored for. He says to this end, he labors and strives. He says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they would be encouraged in heart, being united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. And this complete understanding, the foundation of this complete understanding is that God is so good and that he is love. And if you begin to grasp how much he loves you and all that he has done in Christ for you, because he goes on to say, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ Jesus, God has invested endowed all his fullness. Paul says in Colossians, for in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. And it's in Christ, and all this fullness that God calls to dwell in Christ, that is how you and I become complete. We draw from him like a spiritual bank account. Every need, we look to Christ, and every need we have, he has already completely filled the spiritual account, and it's ours. We simply need to access it, walk in it, so that he can be glorified by the grace that he has already given. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we could know this. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul said, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things that he has already freely given us. Are you having to ask for things that God has already given? Think about that. You don't have to ask him to give what he's already given. You know what you need? You need faith to appropriate and begin to utilize what he's already given. And this is where the complete understanding of Christ comes in. Because when you only understand Christ as the forgiveness of your sins, you see him on the cross. And that's where he stays basically in your mind. He stays the one who you constantly receive forgiveness from. And that's all that some people ever come to him for. They just come to him for mercy and for forgiveness over and over and over again. They don't come to the resurrected Christ, not on the cross, who's ascended to the right hand of God, who's become a life-giving spirit, so that they can receive every single grace that's necessary to live a godly life. 2 Peter, for through him, everything that we need for life and godliness has already been given through Christ, through the full knowledge of him. And when you begin to know Christ as all the power of God, all the wisdom of God, all the grace of God, then you begin to receive from him more than forgiveness. You begin to receive from him power. Remember what he told Paul? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My power is made perfect where? In weakness. So our weakness, that's why the power of Christ is there. So that we can draw from his power, so that his power is displayed through our weakness. We sing that, remember the song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Where is he strong? He's not strong like in some museum, in some glass case. Oh, how strong Jesus is. You think that blesses God? Oh, how strong Jesus is and how weak we are. How strong Jesus is, how weak we are. The purpose of his strength is to be perfected in our weakness. So that what others see is us becoming strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that in these earthen vessels is displayed the all the fullness of God in Christ dwells in us to show that the all-surpassing power dwelling in us is of God. And that's the Jesus we need to come to know in maturity. We start off as children and infants, and we start off in need of mercy, recognizing that we are sinners, and we hear the good news that God loves us and that he gave his son as an atonement for our sin, that he demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, which is wonderful. But the reason he died for us is so that we could be reconciled to God. And reconciled means brought back on the same point on every level. And you know what? You know what being brought back to the same point of God is? I am holy, you be holy. I am righteous, you walk in righteousness. I am good, you become good. You put the old away and you clothe yourselves with the new. You demonstrate to the world that you are no longer who you were. You are in Christ a new creation. The old is passing away. All things are becoming new. That's the reason we have grace. So that this testimony becomes magnified to everyone who knows us. That they see what God is creating in us through the powerful grace of Christ. And this is the Christ that we need to grow into the full knowledge of. We need to look to Him as the source of power to walk over sin. Because grace is not simply God giving us favor that we don't deserve. Grace is the power of God to give us the ability to walk in righteousness. Romans 5:21, just as sin reigned in death. How do we know that sin reigned? What did sin make everyone? Have I thrown you off? Sin made everyone sinners. Right? That's how you know it reigned. It's more powerful than anybody. And listen to this. Just as sin reigned in death, grace might now reign in righteousness. So how do you know grace is reigning? When you see people walking in righteousness. Because now the spirit of the law of life in Christ has overcome the law of sin and death. Just like the law of thermodynamics overcomes the law of gravity, the power of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit lifts us up. And though we are tempted, His power enables us to deny ourselves and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And not only does it enable us to do so, it enables us to do so and love every day we're doing it. Because when you have grasped the love of God accordingly, I didn't take you to this scripture. I think I quoted it to you last week, but I want to let you know where it is in 1 John chapter 5. I want to read just the first few verses there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. It's not a burden to obey the commands of God. You know how? Not to the person who's begun to grasp the greatness of the love of God. If God is love, everything that comes out of his mouth is love. If he's asked us to do something, it's because he loves us. Because he knows it's good for us. And when that transformation has taken place in your mind, you know what happens? You've come to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're learning of him. And you're beginning to take his yoke on you. And what did he say about his yoke? My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And you take the yoke of Jesus. What's his yoke? His yoke is doing the Father's will. When you join with Jesus, and by his help and his spirit in you, you begin to do the will of God. You know what that brings you? Rest unto your soul. You know what wears people out? Trying to satisfy themselves with the things of the world. Look at the marriages. How many marriages are satisfied even with all the wealth? How many start off it before some altar? Until death do us part. Oh yeah, see how well that goes. Without knowing God. Without having the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. But when you have the love of God being shed abroad into your heart, you know what you find delight in? You find delight in doing the will of God. You find delight in serving Him. You find delight in what he says. And when you know it's spoken out of love, it comes to you as a gift and a blessing. And you know what you do with gifts and blessings? You treasure them up in your heart. You don't need some pastor telling you you need to memorize them. If they're special to you, you treasure them. You know, no one told... When I was in Sunday school, they taught me about learning the scriptures and hiding the word in our hearts so we might not sin against God, which is good. But the real issue is, as soon as the love of God begins to wax cold, the word of God, there's no interest. And this is the danger of the last days. This is what Jesus said, because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of the many begins to wax cold. And as soon as love waxes cold, if it is the love of God being shed abroad in our heart that makes keeping his commandments easy, it's not a burden, it's a delight. What happens? How do those commandments seem if that love begins to cool? Suddenly, the way of the Lord kind of gets hard, doesn't it? It's kind of hard to serve the Lord. You know, being a Christian's hard. You know, doing what God expects is hard. You know what? That's an unbelieving heart. Because God speaks his word to us for freedom, not burdens. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
Truth doesn't bring you into bondage. Truth brings you into freedom. And you know what the freedom is? It's the freedom of the deception that's in the world. Because sin is deceitful. Sin is the bait that Satan keeps using to get the whole world into his traps, keeping them away from God, where all the fullness of God dwells in Christ. And if you want a full life, if you want abundant life, if you want life that's fullness of joy, isn't that what Jesus said? These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Then have the words of Christ in you. That's where fullness of joy comes. In thy presence, there is fullness of joy. But this is for those who come to know Christ fully. It takes the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Paul prayed this in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of our calling, what is the riches of our glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great power. That power is like the working of God which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Resurrection power is available to us to live a righteous life. The very life and power and grace of God available to us to not only make us righteous, but to love every minute of it. Not as a hard thing, as a privilege, as a glorious thing, as a beautiful thing. But that's not sometimes how a child thinks. And you know, a child is not an adult, right? We want them to become adults. Christopher, keep going. Nathan, Elijah, you guys are all got a good... You look like an adult, man. You're big enough. You're bigger than most of us. All of us. There's a difference in an adult and a child. You know what one of the first differences between a child and a baby? We're kind of hopeful because... Raising young children are a lot of work. And matter of fact, if you're a grandparent and your kids are with you for a week, it's a lot of work. But when you're the parent, when you're the mom, and you're having to dress your child everywhere they go, you have to put their clothes on, you have to take their clothes off. You know what I mean. You appreciate when they get to the stage where they're able to dress themselves. And they even want to change clothes. But we're at least hopeful when we can tell them, you need to change. Because most of the time, another sign of children is children don't mind wearing the same old clothes over and over and over again, do they? They don't care how they smell. They don't care how they look. They're comfortable. They'll sleep in them. They'll grow up in them. But mom and dad has to say, no, you take those clothes off and you put on a new clean set of clothes. You know what God says to us in Ephesians and Colossians through the Apostle Paul? You take off the old man. And you put on the new man created to be like God. Don't be a baby. Look into other people around you to take off your old man. You strip off the old man. And you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on long-suffering. Put on gentleness. Put on meekness. And when you dress yourself in the grace of Jesus Christ, you will look radiant. Get out of your old clothes. And if I could show you how strong it is in the original language, I don't use that much. I read the original language. I could tell you what it is. I could describe the grammatical words to you. Some of it would be right there. That's just Greek to me, Pastor. Yeah, it's Greek to me too. Wonderfully. But here's what I'll tell you. There's no way around this. This is not something God will do for us. This is something He says we are to do ourselves. Amen. We are to take off the old man and put it off and dress ourselves with His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we do so, we become that new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. So what is he talking about? Putting off. If you want to see, just to give you some ideas of what am I talking about, Paul is practical in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 5 in Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And I'm hoping that all of us have already put those things to death. Oh, to God that no one here is walking in sexual immorality or impurity or lust or evil desires or greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. So let me just tell you, if you're walking in anything, any of these things, the wrath of God is coming to you. Anyone who walks in these things, the wrath of God is going to come upon them. That's why you put them off. Because His wrath is coming on those things. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways. That's what I'm hoping is true for us. Those are the ways we used to walk in, no longer in the life you once lived. But he goes on. But now, verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves. There it is. You rid yourselves of all such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. So put off anger. Put it off. Put off anger to the telemarketer. And if you're a Democrat, put off anger to the Republicans. If you're a Republican, put off anger to the Democrats. Stop it. Put away anger. Put off slander. Stop speaking about anybody in a way that's slanderous. Don't let slander come out of your mouth. Don't speak about a person you dislike in a slanderous way. Put it off. Take it off. Get those old clothes off of you. Put it away. Put those things away. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language. And don't lie to each other since you've taken off your old self. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. See, when you put off the old man, guess what goes with it? The old practices. So old things pass away and all things become new. And I put on the new. We put away the old and we put on the new. And in this process, we become conformed to the image of Christ. We begin to look like Christ. We begin to function the way God designed for us to function. And we become that perfect man, complete. No longer children. Now, the other thing, the other indication that you have not grown up, you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember this Corinthian church, even though there was a lot of giftings there, Paul said to them that he could not address them as if they were mature. He had to address them as babies, mere infants in Christ. But he used the term carnal. I couldn't call you spiritual because you're carnal. And do you remember why he said they were carnal? Well, let me give you a hint. Remember, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to do this dynamic equipping of the saints so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith. Well, if the unity of the faith is the goal, what's one sign that we are not growing up? Disunity. And that's what he said. I could not address you as spiritual, but carnal, mere infants in Christ, for there are divisions among you. You know there are divisions among us too? Did you know that? In University Park, there are divisions. You know there are Republicans here? And there are Democrats here too. Can you believe that someone... You see that? If that's how you think, you've not grown up. That's why we will not have those kind of divisions. Those are things that will be out there in the world. We are one family.
Amen.
One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, one Spirit. But if we have these divisions, if we see others as they, listen to your language or listen to the language of you here. How do you know that someone is not grown up? They use a lot of they and those and them instead of we and us and our. We're one. And spiritual maturity is evidenced by spiritual unity. And let me say this about us. We're doing well in that area. There's more to do. But people don't sense division when they come here, which I'm very grateful for. I'm very grateful for. And I don't want there to be any room for it. We don't want division over masks, over shots, over COVID, over politics. We don't want divisions. We are one people. This was God's will to form a new human race with Christ as the head. Because we know what happened to the last head, Adam, when he fell and sin reigned. It corrupted the whole world. And God has cured that corruption by filling his Son with grace that abounded even beyond sin. And so that in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God dwells bodily, and in him you and I are made complete. So we can take our eyes off the world, off the differences with each other. And when all of us, with all of our eyes, are looking to Christ, everyone's looking to the same person, everyone is believing that he is the fullness of God, everyone growing to that knowledge, Because I think right now we have some looking to him as the forgiveness of God, not the fullness of God. But when we all come and we are all looking to Jesus Christ as the fullness of God, everyone looking to the same place, you know what it produces? Unity. Harmony. And oneness. A.W. Tozer said this. I can't take credit for it, but it's so true. You know, have you ever seen a tuning fork? Those little things you can ding and it makes perfect concert pitch. You can take that tuning fork and travel around the world. You can tune this piano with it. You can tune a piano in Japan. You can tune a piano in Africa. You can tune a piano in South America, in Australia, New Zealand, in Europe, Russia. And every single piano you tune with the same tuning fork will be perfectly in tune with each other. So you know how you know that you or I are walking in the Holy Spirit? Because the closer we get to Jesus Christ, the closer we get to each other. No division. No strife. One. One body. One faith. One Lord. One baptism.